it's good to be in such a dynamic atmosphere of praise, for I believe it honors God. How about you? If you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to Exodus, the 15th chapter. I'd like to begin reading with the 22nd verse of chapter 15 of Exodus, and read through chapter 12, or verse 12 of chapter 16. Begin reading Exodus 15, verse 22, and reading through verse 12 of chapter 16. You read along with me, and by the time I get through verse 12, I believe you will have heard a word that will make you conscious a little bit about what we may be zeroing in on. It says, "And so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, 'Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then said the Lord unto Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.' And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel at even, 'Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then shall ye see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye should murmur against us?' And Moses said, 'This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord.' And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings.' And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" Now, if I were to ask you, after I've read these scriptures to you, what word is there that stands out more than any other word in these verses of scripture that I've read to you? By now, I think you're aware of the fact that 9 times in these verses that I've read to you, the word murmur has been used. And so by now, if you put 2 and 2 together, you'll begin to believe that Brother Jack is going to talk to us about murmuring. That's logical, isn't it? I mean, that many times in the Bible, every now and then, that means you ought to preach on it, hadn't you? This being Thanksgiving season, I consider Thanksgiving season, to me personally, it is the greatest holiday season. For me, personally, I enjoy Thanksgiving more than any other time during the year. I think one of the reasons I enjoy Thanksgiving so much is because it stirs some very deep, deep emotions within me. My memories about Thanksgiving are probably some of the best memories I have when you talk about my childhood. Now, when I think about Christmas, all my memories about Christmas when I was a child were not very good. It was a time of disappointment, and sometimes it was a time of sadness. And so Christmas season sometimes stirs mixed emotions within me. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Sometimes it brings joy, sometimes it brings sadness. But Thanksgiving, when I think of Thanksgiving, I think about grandmother's house. I still can visualize and see it, Thanksgiving at grandma's. Nothing like it. It was that time when all the aunts and uncles and first cousins got together to eat together. It was a kind of a family tradition for the McDaniels to gather at 1509 Mary Street at grandma's house. And we would be invited in, and it seemed like that everybody was kind of happy. I can still remember the arrangements of the house. There was a kitchen, and then there was a dining room, and then there was a living room. And I can remember how grandmother used to fix her dining room, how it was so made up and so fixed, and the best china was used, and in those china cabinets, it would be filled with cakes and pies, and I used to just could hardly wait until dinner, because I knew we were going to have a feast. And man, it was glorious. We'd eat, and then after we'd gotten through eating, we'd go outside and we'd play games. We'd play football or whatever with all the cousins and uncles and whoever was around there. And then grandmother would always take a white tablecloth. Now, some of you don't remember these things, but then you take that white tablecloth and spread it over all that food, you know. And man, the temptations abounded all that afternoon because you wanted to go look under that tablecloth and get it. But we just didn't do that. We stayed outside, and then in the evening we'd come back and get with the leftovers. Something about those that stirs up good, good memories for me. So I thank God for the good memories that I have this morning about Thanksgiving. How many of you remember Thanksgiving at your house when you were small? They're good, aren't they? Amen. Don't ever lose them. I thank the Lord for that tradition. The more I've grown and the older I've gotten the Lord, I find more and more to be thankful for, and I thank God. Colossians 2:7 says in the Living Bible, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Thank God our lives this morning ought to just be filled with joy and thanksgiving for all that he's done for us. Thank God for salvation this morning. You praise the Lord for that? Thank God for the baptism. Thank God for all he's done for us. Do you praise the Lord this morning? Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, one of the highlights of my Thanksgiving season is I get letters. We are thankful. This is from the missionettes. Now, I wish I could read all of them to you. That bless your heart. But I'm going to read some of them to you. And here's where I got my Thanksgiving message from the little folks in missionettes. I want you to listen to a few of them express their thanks to the Lord. Now, they're so simple, so innocent, and they draw me all kind of pictures. I don't know whether you see that or not. It might not mean a thing to you, but it means something to me. And all day when I get this folder, I always sit down and read, and I laugh a little bit, and I cry a little bit, and I thank God for them, and I just praise the Lord for the little folks and the messages. This one says, "Dear Brother Di, I am thankful for my teachers, candy, bike, and church." That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Amen. That's good, isn't it? Now you want to listen to this one. This will bless your heart. Dear brother Jack, thanks for being a good pastor, P-A-S-T-E-R, and thanks for getting Neat Children's Church. I pray for you all the time. Can you pray for Stacy Britt? She has a struck, S-T-R-U-C-K, throat. Remember, Jesus loves you. Amen. That's great. Amen. Thank the Lord. And says, P.S., thanks for Thanksgiving. Says, "Dear Brother Di, how are you?" "I'm fine. I want to thank you for being such a good pastor. Thank you also for praying for me. And you know what? I pray for you too. You have to be the third best man on earth. The best man is God, second Jesus, third you." Amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. I mean, brother, you got to get excited about that. I mean, if that don't make you thankful, they put it in the kind of words, and I don't know who their parents are, but you're telling them the right thing about your pastor. Amen. I appreciate that. That means, that says to me, you don't go home and chew me up over meals. They've got some good things. You've said some good things, and I appreciate that. Dear Brother Bob, thank you for being a preacher. I am sick. I have a sore throat. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the prims. Kids church, I will see you sometime. Thank you for, did you know that I have a deaf friend? D-E-A-T-H, not deaf. I have a deaf friend. She is sweet. I know sign language. I pray all the time that for those that are sick. Amen. So her deaf friends, it was supposed to be deaf, but she spelled it deaf. And I reckon if you're going to talk to the dead, you need sign language too. Amen. Says, "Dear Grand, thanks for the church and the Neat Children's Church. I'm glad for Good Missionettes program and for our leaders. I'm glad that I moved to Wichita Falls for the church. I have a lot of good friends at the church. Sorry I messed up on the front. Dear Brother Di." Now I want you to listen to this. This has got all the adjectives you should ever need. And I'm going to tell you who this one. This is from Judith McDuffie. I didn't tell you all of it, but I want you to say, "Dear Brother Di, I thank you, my pastor. You are a sweet, 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 sweet man." Amen. "I thank you for praying for us. I thank you very, 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 very much. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving." Amen. Isn't that great? Thank the Lord. "Dear Jack, I'm thankful for church, my cats, my parents, my friends, for you, for school, for my clothes. I'm thankful for Jesus most of all. I'm thankful for all houses. I'm thankful for cars, trucks, vans. I'm glad you're a preacher. I like the choir. I also like the choir teacher. I am happy for my teachers. She really is nice. I am new from this church." Amen. Thank you. Amen. "Dear Brother Jack, I am thankful for food, clothes, grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, uncle, aunt. Sometimes we take some of these things for granted. But one thing I know is you are the best preacher in the world. Glory, glory." Amen. Amen. You see why Thanksgiving means so much to me. "Dear Brother Don, I'm thankful for a pastor as good as you. I'm thankful for pets, and I'm thankful for parents, a lot more things. I'm thankful for you because I love to hear the word you preach. You're the best pastor I've ever seen or had in my life. Purple royalty. I'm thankful for my parents because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I'm thankful for my school and church. love you the best. Amen. I'm thankful for my parents. And we're coming down to the end now. I wish you could read all these. I'm thankful for my parents because they're always there when I need them. They all also always give me food, and they never let me starve. I am also thankful for Christian friends. They are really nice to have. I'm really thankful for you. You're the best preacher any church could ever have. That's no lie. But the most thankful thing I'm thankful for is God. He is the one and the only one that never fails. You, he is always there. When you need him, he is the best one in the whole world. Isn't that great? Thank God. Dear Brother Jack, I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for clothes. And most of all, I'm thankful for God. Dear Brother Dial, I would like to tell you what I am thankful for. I am thankful for having Christian parents who love and care for me, and for a cool, comfortable home in the summer and a warm house in the winter. I'm also thankful for nice clothes. Finally, I'm thankful for being a free American and having a right to choose my work, my religion, my clothes, and my home. I'm also thankful for you because of your sermons lift me up when I'm feeling low. Especially when I've got bad problems. And finally, I'm thankful for my missionette leaders. And finally, in concluding, dear Brother Dial, I'm thankful for so many things. Two others. I'm thankful for who I am and where I live and who I live with, my family. I'm thankful for my mom because she's my best friend in the whole world. The reason why she's my best friend is that I can talk about anything I want to my personal problems, my jokes and other things, because I know that she knows that I'm sometimes going through. She's been my age and had my same problems too. I'm also thankful for my dad because I know he loves me and I love him. He helps me with my math when I don't understand it. It's my worst subject. He also has great talent and humor. Also, my brothers and my sisters are on my list of thankfuls. If I didn't have them, I wouldn't know how to act around other people my age. I also thank my friends. They always help me in a real tight spot at school. I also thank you, Brother Dial. You may not know it, but you also help me with my problems. When I feel down about something all week, I go to church on Sunday morning and listen to your sermons, and it always helps me. I sometimes think you're talking directly to me. I'm thankful for almost everything. I'm mainly thankful for Jesus. I can talk to him anytime I want. When I'm in school, home, friends, or vacation, anywhere, even church especially. I'm thankful for other things too, but now I'm getting writer's cramp. Amen. Dear Brother Jack, I'm 14 years old and could write about all my problems, and I could complain. And I like this. This is where I get my sermon from today, from a 14-year-old. I'm 14 years old, and I could write about all my problems, and I could complain. But I just wanted to tell you that you really blessed my mom and dad, that I love very much. And I know you are always there to pray for me and my family. I really have a lot to be thankful for. For example, my parents are there to buy clothes and my needs plus extra things. My mom and I argue sometimes, but we really get along fine. Me and my dad get along fine also. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that I can see and have parents, a nice church with a great youth church pastor. I really am thankful. My gratefulness really overcomes my complaints. And I think that's what I want to zero in on for the next few moments this morning. My gratitude overcomes my complaints. What I read to you this morning from my scripture lesson is about a group of people who had everything to be thankful for and to rejoice in God in. I'm talking to you this morning about the nation of Israel, who had been in bondage for over 400 years. Now God had heard their cries and their groanings and had spoken to Moses, given Moses the commission to go over into Egypt's land and lead his people Moses had obeyed God, and through the miraculous power of God and the sending of the plagues and the Passover angel, God had delivered now the children of Israel. He had miraculously brought 2 million people through the Red Sea on dry ground. When they had crossed the Red Sea, they stood on the banks and watched Pharaoh's army and his mighty chariots swept under by the mighty Red Sea as they sought to cross over the same path that God had led his children in. The enemy tried to pursue them on that path, and God closed the Red Sea back together and drowned all of Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horses. They stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and they viewed the past for a moment. They knew now that they were free. They knew now the enemy could no longer pursue them, for God had destroyed them. They got happy. They were blessed. And on the banks of the Red Sea, they joined in a mighty chorus of singing and praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God. Their hearts were elated. They danced, the Bible said, and they shouted the praises of God for his great deliverance. Now the sea was closed, and they must continue their journey, following a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God led them. Some 3 days after they had gloriously praised and sang the praises of God on the banks of the Red Sea because of all God's mighty acts in their behalf and because of all the great things that he had done for them, 3 days from there they came to a place where the waters were bitter, the place of Meribah. When they drank the water, just after 3 days of being gloriously delivered by God, they murmured against God. And then in the next verses I begin to read to you how only did they not murmur against God there, then God sweetened up the water by showing Moses a tree, and he cast it in the water, and it was made drinkable. They encamped at Elim among the palm trees and the many wells for a few days. Then they continued their journey in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they'd eaten all their food, and they grew hungry. And then they murmured again. And they said something very negative. We do this a lot of times when we murmur. They said something, it's hard for me to really believe that they really believed and thought. They said to themselves, I wish God would have let us stay over in Egypt. And we would have died in Egypt by the flesh pots of Israel rather than being brought into this wilderness and destroyed. 9 times in these verses of Scripture, the Bible says they murmured against God. They grumbled in their heart. They spoke negative feelings and things out of their life. Here was a people that ought to have been saturated with joy and thanksgiving for all the Lord had done for them. But instead they were murmuring. And I thought about us. And I thought about how we get caught up in this murmuring business. How sometimes it's so easy for us to forget what God has done for us. Let your lives be filled with joy and thanksgiving for all that he has done. But sometimes instead of our lives being filled with joy and thanksgiving, our lives are filled with complaints and murmurings and frettings. And over again, these verses of Scripture says that God heard them murmur. In Deuteronomy, it says that the Lord heard them in their tents murmuring. And I want you to know when you're complaining and murmuring, I want you to know that God hears your complaining and your murmuring. Let me tell you why these people murmured instead of praising God. First of all, they murmured because they didn't pray. Friends, if you want to cure murmuring, You got to learn to pray. When they got to the place where the waters were bitter, when they got to the place where they had no food, instead of praying, they began to murmur. And that's the way it is among the church today. I hear it all the time. Being a pastor, I hear it all. I hear people murmur instead of praying. And I want you to know praying will cure murmuring. And murmuring will kill praying. It wasn't a mistake that Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When you're praying and asking God to do something for you, fill your prayer requests with thanksgiving. Thanking God for what all He already has done and what He is going to do. And my friends, I want to tell you, we fill our mouths with murmuring instead of praying. And God help me and you to know that it displeases Almighty God. When things are not going right, quit murmuring and start praying. Amen. We don't glorify anybody but the devil when we murmur. Sometimes in dealing with things, it's so easy to be caught up murmuring. I find myself doing that. I'm not perfect. I'm working on that. God is helping me. The Holy Spirit is convicting me. I find sometimes when things are not going just exactly like I want them to go, I catch myself murmuring. And then lately, the Holy Spirit is telling me, and I made it a conscious effort to do this. And when I catch myself murmuring, I quit murmuring and immediately go to praying. Thank God. I feel so much better when I'm praying than when I'm murmuring. You feel bad when you murmur. You know that? And Lord help you, everybody else around you feels bad too when you're murmuring. But instead of praying, they murmur. When you don't like what's going on in the church, pray. When you got needs, instead of blaming God and lashing out, pray. Praying is a cure for murmuring. I'm telling you, friends, it is a cure for murmuring. Not only, my friends, did they murmur because they didn't pray, they murmured because they took their eyes off God and put them on Moses. If we keep our eyes on Him, we won't be murmuring. But if we put our eyes on each other, we're going to be murmuring. Amen. They took their eyes off of God and placed them on their circumstances and their conditions. And they placed them on people. They took their eyes off God and said, this wills in a spirit. This will. God draws to this will. They took their eyes off of God and looked at Moses and Aaron and said, it's your fault. They murmured against Moses and Aaron, but God really knew who they were murmuring against, because He said, you're not really murmuring against them. You're murmuring against Me. Friends, if we take our eyes off of God and we look at the prosperity of the wicked, we're going to murmur. The psalmist said, I looked on the prosperity of the wicked, and then envy boiled up in my heart, and I was distressed and oppressed and perplexed until I went to the house of the Lord. I want to tell you, people who take their eyes off God will murmur. And then, my friends, they murmured not only because they didn't pray, and they murmured not only because they took their eyes off of God, but they murmured because they were so forgetful. You know what? Good memories are a blessing. You believe that? Thank God for good memories. Amen. But how easy we are to forget God's blessing. Have you ever forgot a blessing from God and have to be around? Come on, be honest. You know, we do. We may not do it in our conscious, but sometimes our actions prove that we've forgotten what God has done for us. You know why they murmured? Psalms 106:21 says, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. That's why they murmured. They forgot God. They forgot God. They forgot God, which had done great things for them in Egypt. They forgot about it. And brother, I want to tell you, when things don't look so good, and when you find yourself murmuring, you ought to remind yourself of what God has done for you. He's done enough for me that I got, that my heart can be filled with gratitude from now till Jesus comes or I die, and I could never thank him enough for saving my soul. No wonder David exhorted his soul. And he was talking to his soul when he said in Psalms 103, 1 and 6, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's talking to his soul, his inward man. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." He said, forget not all the sins. Don't you forget what the Lord's done. Then he listed five things the Lord had done. He said, "Soul, you ought to bless the Lord first of all, because he forgiveth all your iniquities." Thank God. How many of you are glad this morning your sins have been forgiven? He said, "You want to bless the Lord because he has forgiven you all your iniquities, not some of them, but thank God all your iniquities." And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Diseases. He's talking to his soul. You know what the diseases of the soul are? Bitterness, envy, jealousy. He's talking to his soul here. The Lord has healed you of your bitternesses, of your resentments, of your jealousies. Thank God. That's a lot to be thankful for. And he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not that he's forgiven all your iniquities and healed all your diseases, but has redeemed your life from destruction. And who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, and who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's." What do you find in those verses? Number one, you find pardon at the judgment hall. "Forgiveth all thy iniquities." Number two, you find he's our great physician in the hospital. Healeth all our diseases. Number three, you find the slave market that he bought us from. Redeemeth, bought you back from the pits. Number four, we find the banquet hall, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Number four, we find. Number five, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. We find provision. They forgot God and they murmured. Friends, we need to remind ourselves of what God's done for us. Deuteronomy 8, Moses said to the children of Israel, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." We sang it this morning. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. We can't count them all, can we? But don't you thank God for his blessings? Friends, what should we resolve to do? Be like these children are. In their simplicity, in their innocence, they listed what they were thankful for. It wasn't hard for them to thank the Lord for their house and for their clothes and for their pets, for their mom, for the dad, for the church, for their pastor, for their friends. Oh, friends, we need to make ourselves a list every now and then and thank God for the things we take for granted. When's the last time you thank God for the water you drink? When's the last time you thank God for the air you breathe? When's the last time you thank God for the clothes you wear? When's the last time you thank God for the automobile you drive? When's the last time you thank God for the home you lived in? When's the last time you thank God for giving you monies to buy groceries with and the food you eat? When's the last time you lifted up your voice and say, "I thank God that I'm American and live with the privileges and blessings I live with today"? When's the last time you thank God for Christian brothers?
Christ. When's the last time? When? When? No wonder he said, bless the Lord who daily loadeth thee with benefits. We need the attitude of the prophet when he said, even though the fig trees are all destroyed, and there is neither blossom left nor fruit, and though the olive crops all fail, and the fields lie barren, even if the flocks die, and the cattle barns are empty, in spite of all that, he said, in spite of no crops, in spite of no animals, in spite of the bleakness and darkness of a famine, and the persecution of the enemy as the Chaldeans came upon the nation of Israel to judge them because of sin. In spite of what I see, he says something we need to get a hold of. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Orunda sukota. In spite of all of it, I will rejoice in the Lord. He says, I will be happy. Not in my conditions, not in my circumstances, but I will be happy in God. I will be happy in God. I will be happy in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will give me the speed of a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. I'm telling you, we ought to be like the psalmist that said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And ask God to forgive us of our murmurings. Our murmurings. And the 14-year-old young lady said, my gratefulness shall overcome my complaints. How better could anybody say it? A theologian could do no better. A man that had preached for years could do no better. We, like Paul, must learn the secret of giving thanks always for all things unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be what he said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I'm glad Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. For there's more murmuring done around Christmas time than any other time of the year. Shame on us. God forgive us. But after this Thursday, and already our stores are being decorated, things are being tried to be sold. And during this Christmas season, we're going to murmur if we're not careful. I want to proclaim, and I want to say that the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart to say this to you today. I'm glad that Thanksgiving has come before Christmas. And I will challenge you, I will exhort you, I will admonish you to join your pastor in making a concerted covenant effort that during the next month and a half, we will not murmur, but we will thank God for his unspeakable gift. It should be a great season of thanksgiving. Let us be like the psalmist had said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? What can I do for the Lord? How can I repay the Lord for all his blessings? He said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Are you grateful this morning? Are you really thankful this morning? That's what it's about, friends. That's what it's about. Thanksgiving. Not just a day of the year, but for the believer, every day is a Thanksgiving day. Every day, he said, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Would you stand? Praise the Lord. I want us to sing that song again, Count Your Blessings. name them one by one. And I want us to do that this morning. I want us to leave out of here with an air of gratitude, thankfulness. Let us not murmur. Remember, if you murmur, it means you're not praying. If you're murmuring, it means that you've taken your eyes off of God. If you murmur, it means that you forgot what God's done for you. When you forget, you murmur. When you remember, you praise. When you forget, you murmur. When you remember, you praise. Amen. How many of you have got a blessing to count today? Raise your hand up high, let God know you're not ashamed. What would you put in a letter if you were to write like these young people did? How would you express yourself? I doubt we could do it any better. But they counted their blessings and their thankfulness. I want you to sing it. And as we're singing it, I want you to start counting your blessings in your mind. As we're singing, just you can sing and count blessings at the same time. Sing it, count blessings. I believe the more you count, the bigger you're going to smile. And the better you're going to sing. And before you get through, you're going to say, I got so much to be thankful for, I can almost shout. Amen. Let's sing it and count at the same time. Amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempted,
counting your blessings.
When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just count your blessings.